listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Hello and welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue here on 2SER 107.3, on 2SER.com and on iTunes. My name is Joel Kassam. Thank you so much for joining me today. So this is the show where a special guest joins me in the studio, picks four songs and discusses why they chose those tracks. All right, let's see who we've got this week. My guest today is one of the most popular and influential newsreaders of our time. Having worked with the likes of Hamish and Andy, Tony Martin and Mick Molloy, Wendy Harmer, Andrew Denton, Jamie Angel, Ronnie Sparks, and of course Kyle and Jackie O, he's done so much over the past two decades. Now he's part of the 2SER team as our news director, as well as mentoring young journalists. A man who loves to remind us all just how old we are getting with his social media posts, the longest-serving newsreader at any FM station, although you wouldn't know looking at him, it's Mr. Jeff Field. Hello, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Joel. That was really nice, and I'll pay you later for the introduction. I love Honky Tonk Women, the first song that you had on there, by the way. Who chose that?
That was originally from Jamie when he did this show.
Yeah.
Jamie Travers, the very professional Jamie Travers. And so if you like, they had this all set up and I just stole it from them. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just want to take 1 second though. I was saying just before off air, you have the most professional radio voice I think I've ever heard. Like you nail it. I get emails saying, we really like the show, but that Joel girl is really weird. We don't like her voice. How do you get the perfect voice for radio?
I'm blushing. I'm really blushing. To answer your question, I have no idea, Joel, but at the age of 16, I started hanging around a radio station in my hometown of Nowra, and the general manager said to me, Jeff, you've got a good voice. Would you like to come and read our news? I was 16 years old. So I left school on the Friday, started work on the Monday, delivering the news of the day to thousands of people on the south coast and Illawarra of New South Wales at the age of 16. So I was talking to politicians, mayors, police, and I was 16. So I've always had this voice. I know of no other voice. I'm not putting on a voice. It's my voice. So I suppose I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
I've never been out of a job. And literally, as I say, I left school on Friday, started work on Monday, and here I am.
So you started, obviously, quite early. What sort of drew you to journalism?
Well, I loved radio. It was in my blood, DNA, as they say.
Okay.
You know, I used to go to bed with a radio.
With protection?
That sounds creepy. But I would take the radio to bed, and Mum would come in and say, Jeff, turn that thing off. You've got school tomorrow morning. But I was addicted to the radio. I just loved it. So I'd go up to the radio station 2ST in Nowra. If anyone down on the south coast is listening, hello. And I did some work experience there. And I was very fortunate that I was literally offered a job as a school kid. And that's how my radio career started. So I was very lucky.
Just walking into a radio station and saying,
incredibly lucky. I never take it for granted.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. You've obviously reported on some major events over the years. I think you had the death of Princess Diana, impeachment of President Clinton as well.
The whole thing.
When thinking back, what are some of the more major stories you remember breaking?
The World Trade Center attack. I remember getting up to go to work at Today FM on that particular morning. And remember, this was before the internet had really taken effect, before Facebook, before iTunes. I got in there and I switched the television on and I saw that footage of the plane crashing through the Tower One. And we were, even though we were at Today FM, a hit music station which pumped out the top 40 jukebox style, we went straight to news. And we were basically the entire news team for Triple M and Today FM. We covered that news story all day. I can remember getting out of there at 11 o'clock that night. So that's probably the story that sticks in my mind the most. Also, the death of Princess Di. I was sitting in a cafe in King's Cross, and someone said they'd heard that Princess Di had been involved in a car accident in Paris. So I went into the radio station at Bondi Junction, Today FM and Triple M, and literally within half an hour found out that she had died. And again, that was rolling coverage on air on an FM station, which was primarily targeting music listeners. So for a journalist, it was a shocking story, but a great opportunity to deliver the breaking news. First of all, she was in a serious condition, then she died. And for the younger listeners listening to this show right now, the effect that had around the world was incredible. It literally, there was an outpouring of grief. Even people that weren't monarchists, because she was such a beloved figure. I will never, ever forget seeing the footage around Buckingham Palace of the flowers, the memorial. It's just incredible. Yeah, that they're two stories that stick out.
It is crazy when you think back and, you know, everyone says to you, oh, where were you the day Princess Di passed away? And also now the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Those things just stick in your head. Like, I know exactly where I was both those times. It's bizarre. Okay, they're obviously quite sad stories.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get it back to a more cheery level.
Oh, good.
Let's get your let's get your first track in, because I have so many questions for you. Your old track.
I'm going to lecture your listeners on this particular band.
Okay.
I'll give you some clues. Lennon and McCartney are the most successful songwriters in history. Guess who number two are? Ulvaeus and Anderson. Now, you might think, who are they? Well, they're from a band from Sweden, a little band that had complete domination of the pop charts in the 1970s and early 80s, ABBA. You might think, oh, yeah, they were a cheesy pop band who had Dancing Queen. No, they weren't. They actually had, they've sold 400 million records now. Their fans include John Lennon, Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols, The Who, Katy Perry, Mick Jagger, Bono, Kylie Minogue, Kurt Cobain was a massive fan, Guns N' Roses. They dominated the Australian charts. In 1977, one in every three households in Australia had a copy of The Best of ABBA. They are second in sales to the Beatles. 400 million albums have been sold. I think Madonna and Michael Jackson are slightly ahead of them. But the way things are going, ABBA keep on living on. And it was John Lennon that, and members of The Who that said SOS is the greatest pop song ever written. Now, that's a massive call. But if you listen, to the orchestration, listen to the keyboards, and listen to the almost classical music going on in the background of this song from the very beginning. The piano, as soon as that piano comes in and you listen, particularly in the middle part of this song, you'll realise why this band is actually respected as time goes on. So they're not just the band that everyone gets up to, the drunk uncle gets up to and dances to Dancing Queen. They've had so many number one hits in Australia. You know, Money, 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 Fernando, you know, SOS, Give Me a Man After Midnight, I Do, I Do, I Do, I Do, like just Chiquitita, like The Winner Takes It All. The list just goes on. They sold millions of records in this country, but this record, SOS, was voted in a poll in the UK as the greatest pop song ever written. So I'll let you guys be the judge. Listen to these notes. I told you.
Good choice.
Yeah, extraordinary pop.
Unbelievable. Very well written, obviously.
Timeless.
Timeless. Again, like we were just saying in the break, you hear that now.
Yeah.
And it's just, everyone knows the song. It's not something different. It's well done, ABBA.
Yeah.
I give you a 10 out of 10 for that song.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Joel. All right.
All right, Jeff. Now, there's no denying you are an absolute professional when it comes to reading the news.
Oh.
So today on... Oh, you are. Come on, don't laugh. Today on Old New Borough Blue, I thought I'd try and stump you. In my hot little hands here, I have some news articles. You haven't seen them yet, have you?
I haven't.
You have not. And I'm gonna give you a little introduction. I'm going to hand these over and see how well you go at reading them. Now, these are real articles. These are real stories. You basically have the perfect radio voice. So let's see how it sounds when a professional reads these major news stories from around the world.
Yeah, I feel like I'm with Joel Sanderlands, but here we go. 2SER News, good morning, I'm Jeff Field. Police in Nigeria are holding a goat on suspicion of attempted armed robbery. Vigilantes seized the black and white goat, saying it was an armed robber who had used black magic to transform himself into an animal to escape after trying to steal a Mazda 323. A spokesman for police in the eastern state of Kwara said the goat is in our custody. Vigilantes saw some hoodlums attempting to rob a car. One escaped while the other turned into a goat.
Is that for real?
This is a true story.
Okay, can I go to the next one
Please
now?
Please do.
A horse was believed to be dead on a cottage property yesterday, but when checked by an animal welfare representative, was determined to be sunbathing.
Lucky horse.
I find these... are you sure these are all true?
Right. I'm telling you, these
next,
are true.
I'm learning something new. I don't remember covering any of these stories. The next one. Police in Medina went to a North State Street address around midnight last night after getting a call about a disturbance. Officers found an engaged couple there arguing about what time Kmart closed. Police told them the store's hours and the couple calmed down.
Lovely.
Next one. A woman in a sumo wrestler's suit has assaulted her ex-girlfriend in a pub yesterday after she waved a man dressed as a Snickers bar. More on this story to come. Stay tuned. According to Jerry Beto, branch manager and senior vice president of investments at AG Edwards & Sons, a millionaire is someone who has $1 million.
Wow.
Really? I'm sorry, I'm finding it hard to actually... Okay, all right, you say
give
they're real,
more.
I believe you.
More.
Can I have a look? And
sure
oh, I've got to do the last one.
Okay.
And finally, a man from Kuala Lumpur who purchased a penis enlargement device online had a rude shock when he received a magnifying glass instead of the device he thought he had purchased. That's all the news for now. I'm Jeff Field and you're not.
Oh, that's brilliant. You even get a round of applause for that. Well done, Jeff.
I feel like such a wanker after reading that. Maybe not such a good choice after that last story, but still.
That's
brilliant, Joel.
No, that's brilliant.
I'd love to read the news for you more often.
You're quite good at it, obviously. So you've done it for how many years now?
3 decades. But I can't believe I just read what I just read. I'm just looking at it, and I'm going to check that online.
Please do. If you don't believe me, you can take that home.
I believe you.
So you're here now at 2SER. You're news director, but you're also helping young journalists.
That's what I love doing. Yeah. I absolutely adore it. I left Today FM in 2016, left the Hamish and Andy show. I'd been at Today FM for 18 years. So I went traveling for 18 months, which is a fair deal, I think.
You're a lucky boy.
I went traveling with my partner, Jason, for 18 months. Came back and didn't really know what I was going to do. I'm very fortunate that I really didn't have to do anything. You know, what will I do? Will I go and read news at another radio? I've done that. And that's not meant to sound cocky, but I've been a radio news reader all my life. And I was approached by the powers that be here at 2SERFM. And I came over and had a chat with the general manager and took the job that day because I actually love seeing young journalists coming into the newsroom and soaking up stuff. They're like sponges.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that in a positive, great way. And I just adore working here. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, it must be quite rewarding.
Yep. It's a double-edged sword because the good people end up getting jobs elsewhere. I've, you know, just in the last few weeks, I've got people who've got internships at Channel 10, the ABC. Eliza, who's been on this show, she's down working in the Canberra Press Gallery. So it's like you get people up to a certain standard, you think, great, and then they get snatched away from you. Yeah. But that's my job.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is, I guess.
So, but like, I love it.
No, that's fantastic. You mentioned Jason before.
Yeah.
I want to talk about him shortly.
Okay.
But we will just listen to your new song now. What have you picked for us today?
An old friend of mine, and I say that with a grin on my face. I'll explain to you why maybe after we hear this song. This is Lady Gaga and The Cure.
I'll undress you cause you're tired. Cover you as you desire. When you fall asleep inside my arms. May not have the fancy things, but I'll give you everything you could ever want. It's in my arms. So baby, tell me yes, and I will give you everything. So baby, tell me yes, and I will be all yours tonight. So baby, tell me yes, and I will give you everything. I will be right by your side. If I take care of it, babe. Close your eyes, I'll sing your favorite song. I wrote you this lullaby. Hush now, baby, don't you cry. Anything you want could not be wrong. So baby, tell me yes, and I will give you everything. So baby, tell me yes, and I will be all yours tonight. So baby, tell me yes.
Right, that was a bit of Lady Gaga there with The Cure. What's your little backstory on that, George? I was going to call you George.
That's all right, Jack.
Jeff, sorry.
The backstory on Lady Gaga, it's quite funny looking back on it. Horrifying in another way. No, it's not horrifying. It's look, the Kyle and Jackie O show was notorious for celebrity guests coming in. So I'd be sitting there, I'd just be finishing my news and Rihanna would walk in or, you know, Kylie or whoever. Anyway, it was 2006, and I'd just finished my 7 o'clock news, and there was this woman walked in, and she'd come in to promote her new single called Just Dance. No idea who she was. The song hadn't charted. No one. And after I'd finished my 7 o'clock news on the Today FM breakfast show, she popped her head in and said, I was really busy. I think I was cutting up a grab of the premiere or something. And she popped her head in and said, can you tell me where I can get a coffee? I said, look, sorry, I'm really busy. The kitchen's that way. And that was Lady Gaga. That was my first time meeting Lady Gaga. Of course, she then, literally within months, became a superstar. That song went to number one. Then she brought Bad Romance out and all the other songs. She had a string of hits. And I looked back on that and laughed until 2012, where we, Today FM, the station I work for, we actually had a promotion called the Monster Ball at the Sydney Town Hall, where Lady Gaga played to an invited audience of mainly Today FM listeners. I went down there and read my news that afternoon from the town hall while she was rehearsing. So I would start out on, this was on the Hamish and Andy show. So I would start out like, you know, good afternoon, it's 4 o'clock, I'm Jeff Field with Today FM News. And she was like practicing in the background, which was great. It sounded really good. Like, you know, we were on location there. And I thought, she's not going to remember anything. So I'm sitting there all very cocky. Straight after my 5 o'clock news, there's a tap on the shoulder. She says, you want to get me a coffee now, Jeff? She remembered me.
That's fantastic.
So there's my Lady Gaga story. And, it, you know, look, you know, I wasn't rude to her. No. I certainly wasn't rude to her, but I, you know, and that's not saying that I would bow down to a celebrity, but it's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
If you get my sense of humor, it's like, yeah, coffee's that way. Go down to the kitchen. And Lady Gaga was no one when I first met her, and she went on to become a worldwide megastar. So
yes,
that's my little Lady Gaga story.
So I guess you still owe her a coffee?
I owe her a coffee.
You owe her one.
I owe her a double.
Because she sure can't afford it. Now, a major step in your life was declaring yourself the first openly gay newsreader on Australian radio. Tell us about how that made you feel.
I didn't declare myself. What happened was Kyle and Jackie said, be myself. And I thought nothing of it. So one Monday morning, Jackie was talking about her and Lee, her husband, what they did on the weekend. Kyle was talking about what he and Tamara were doing. And they said, what did you and Jason do on the weekend? I think they were probably hoping that I said, you know, we went out and clubbed and did this and did that. I said, oh, actually, we sat home, drank red wine and watched Notting Hill. That was back in 2004, before marriage equality, before gay rights were really mentioned in the media. And I thought nothing of it until the Sunday papers came out. And there was a headline in the radio section. There used to be a page, like the media, TV, radio section. Sydney's gay newsreader, Jeff Field. And it wasn't a nasty article, but it was just saying that, as far as they could, the Sun Herald could ascertain, the first openly gay newsreader on Sydney radio who spoke about his partner, just like anyone else would. And I'm actually proud of that. And I was labelled the gay newsreader by Kyle and Jackie. And that comes with the territory. A lot of friends of mine say, oh my God, that's really, you know, demeaning or, you know, tokenism. But I get how they felt. But at the same time, it got the message out that I was just like everyone else. And back in those days, it wasn't cool to be gay. And the fact that they were branding me as Jeff the Gay Newsreader was fine with me. And actually, a couple of years later, I was just Jeff Field. So that tag dropped.
Yeah.
But to, you know, to achieve something, you have to sort of get the message out. So that, you know, and of course, we got married in inverted commas, in 2005 on national television and national radio. But I was insistent that it was branded Sydney's first illegal gay wedding, because John Howard had conveniently changed the laws that year to make it illegal for people of the same sex to get married. So we wanted to make a statement, and Alex Greenwich, the member for Sydney, and who's a good friend of mine, and also CEO of Marriage Equality in Australia, has said that was the catalyst for the marriage equality movement, which I'm really proud of. because I'll never forget that morning where we tied the knot, even though it was illegal. We back in those days, the highest rating show on Australian television was Australian Idol. We had the cast of Australian Idol. We had the judges there. We had Daryl Summers there. We had the premier. We had, the soapy stars there from Home and Away and Neighbours. We had everyone there. Danny Minogue. Everyone came along. And I remember the poll. 40% of Australians approved of marriage equality. Now it's 60%. So things have come a long way. So back in those days, it wasn't necessarily an easy thing to come out and say you were gay on air. So that was a long-winded way of answering your question.
No, but that was perfect because I just love the idea that it's the illegal wedding and that you just got to stick it to the van even though everyone was supporting you.
Yeah. And the Democrats, a party who were big back in those days, actually drafted a bill after the same-sex wedding that we had. They drafted a bill and it didn't even get into the Chamber of Parliament because there wasn't enough support to even get it, a motion. So that's how things have changed since 2005.
Wow.
When we did the wedding.
And, of course, you guys, you're on the leading float of the 2010 Mardi Gras.
Yeah, that was an amazing moment. Yeah, I'll never forget that. Oh, to be perfectly honest, the Dykes on Bikes led the parade. Okay. They always do. And if Jason and I had have led the parade ahead of them, we would have been pummeled. And the Dykes on Bikes have a sense of humour, so they know where I'm coming from. And they deserve to be the lead. But, yeah, that was an amazing time to be on that float for marriage equality and something I'll never forget. And, what can I say? Just thinking about that is incredible. Yep.
That's great. You mentioned Kyle and Jackie O. You're with them for quite a long time. Mm. They also ran a Scare Jeff sort of segment. Were there any sort of, you think back to that, what were like some of the ones you just went, I can't believe they're making me do this?
Well, I'm my own worst enemy because one morning they had a segment about what scares you, and Kyle said he was scared of mice, Jackie said she was scared of snakes, and I said, well, I'm not really scared of anything. Famous last words, Jeff. Because then they introduced a segment called We're Going to Scare Jeff to Death, and they actually had a jingle. First one was where I was blindfolded in the studio, had headphones attached to me so I could hear nothing as well. I didn't know this at the time, but I was taken to the top of Centrepoint Tower, slung off the side of Centrepoint Tower in a sling overlooking the street. They then took the blindfold off me, activated the headphones and said, Jeffrey, the 8 o'clock news. I had a laminated news bulletin in front of me looking over the Pitt Street, Sydney. And I just, for some reason, clicked into gear and went with it. The second week, I was taken in a small plane and tandem skydive for the first time in my life while reading the 7 o'clock news. I let the F word go to air when I jumped out of the plane because I had a panic attack just before I was about to jump out of the plane. So, to answer your question, there were several times where I was scared beyond belief, but I got a phone call once from Jackie. This was after I was lowered into the Manly Shark Aquarium with meat attached to my feet, reading the news. And Jackie actually called me and said, Jeff, we will never actually kill you.
Well, I guess you didn't lie.
No. So I enjoyed that part of doing the show in a weird way because I reckon I've overcome every fear in my life. So the first few years of doing that on the Kyle and Jackie O show were fun, but towards the end, I didn't enjoy it. It went to places that I didn't enjoy, which is why I left. One of the reasons I left the show.
Okay. And just quickly before we get into your borrowed song, you've mentioned a few names so far. You want to name drop a few more people that you've met over the years?
See, people think I'm being a bit of a, I'll use that word again, wanker. But when you work on a breakfast show like that, you've got to remember that show from 2003, the night show, then it went to Drive, then it went to Breakfast. It was the outlet for the major celebrities to
Definitely.
Come in. So I'd be sitting there reading the news. I'd walk out and there's Rihanna standing behind me saying, wow, this studio is amazing, Kylie, spent the afternoon with her in a hotel room. That sounds wrong.
It does.
Doing an interview. Katie Lang, You name it. The major stars. Pink. Pink came in talking about her pussycat.
And I'm glad you
I was telling her
there.
About my pussycat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like I've been incredibly lucky. I've met the man that walked on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, when I was in Hollywood with them doing the show. I don't know if there's a celebrity I haven't met. I worked with Danny Minogue and Andrew G when they were doing Idol. Kyle and Jackie were on a break. And here's a classic. I just finished the 7 o'clock news. And it was like, you know, it's 13 degrees in Sydney on 104.1 Today FM. And Danny, who was hosting the show, said, Jeff, I got someone here who wants to talk to you. And straight after the 7 o'clock news, and she says, hi, Jeff, it's Kylie here. I'm just on stage with Benny and Bjorn from ABBA in Hyde Park in London. They were doing a massive ABBA tribute show. And that's the sort of life I was living. It was astounding. And I look back on those memories with great affection. And it does sound really wanky. Like, it sounds like you are name-dropping, but it was the job.
Exactly. That it was your job.
You were getting, you were getting people every morning. Anyone that wanted to flog their latest song or any superstar that was in town, they went to Sunrise, then they went to the Kyle and Jackie O show. So you just got to meet these people.
Yeah.
You may not have had long and meaningful conversations with them, but you got your selfie.
Yeah.
You know, my Facebook page is just like full of, you know, of people that had hits in the 90s or TV stars or whatever. And I really enjoyed that part of the job. But it also made you realize, no matter how famous you are, doesn't mean you're necessarily a happy person. Because I saw lots of people, and I won't mention any names, but there are lots of people that were very famous, but they were actually really unhappy people.
Yeah.
I think there's a lesson in that.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on to your borrowed track. What have you got for us today?
Okay. This guy was in a punk band in the 70s called The Attractions. And they had a huge hit with Oliver's Army. Go back and Google that, guys. They were full-on punk band. Then he had a comeback in the 1990s, and he covered a French classic by Charles Aznavour. He's a classic French artist. And this was actually in the soundtrack, funnily enough, of Notting Hill, which starred Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant. And it's a beautiful rendition of a song called She. Just remember that this guy was a punk rocker. And have a listen to this song. It's absolutely exquisite.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell. Maybe
be the love that cannot hope to last. May come to me from shadows of the past that I remember till the day I die. She may be the reason I survive, the why and wherefore I'm alive, the one I'll care for through the rough and ready years. Me, I'll take her laughter and her tears and make them all my souvenirs. Where she goes, I've got to be. The meaning of my life is she. She. Oh, she.
I'm in tears.
Elvis Costello there with She. That really was a great big ending.
Yeah, considering, and, yeah, and such a beautiful song. Remember, this guy, as I said, was a punk rocker. So for him to come back with it, such a ballad, and it's a really beautiful song, the orchestration and his voice. It's not what you'd call a ballad sort of voice. It's a bit rough at the edges. Yeah. It's like he's had a few whiskeys.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. It's one of my favorites.
Great choice. What does Jeff Field do when he's not working?
Jeff Field travels. I love traveling. I'm very fortunate in that my partner does actually run a website. He's a producer, radio producer, but he also runs a traveling website. So we get to travel a lot. It's a passion. I basically travel 6 weeks a year overseas. I don't think there's a country I haven't been. I haven't been to Antarctica.
Ooh.
I love to travel. I love just to go and see shows, dramas, musicals, concerts. I like walks in the park. I just enjoy life.
Yeah,
love it.
That's great. And with your travel, did you once travel almost the whole way around the world on just cruise ships? Is that true?
Yeah,
in a year,
pretty much. So after I left Hamish and Andy. Realised I was very fortunate, you know, after all those years at Today FM to be in a good place, you know, my own home, and didn't have financial worries. So I just said to Jason, let's travel. Very lucky, very fortunate. I never take it for granted. And we travelled on some beautiful ships. We did a bit of flying too, but yeah, we basically just live the life and got to see some amazing countries and some beautiful people. That's what I love about traveling, meeting people from different nationalities and meeting different people while you're traveling.
Yeah, I agree. There's something so special about meeting people overseas. You just, I don't know, it gives you a different outlook.
And you come back to Australia and you're hearing about, you know, the latest scandal involving Pauline Hanson or whatever, and you just put it into perspective. Yeah. And you think, yeah. You know, things aren't so bad in this country.
No, I agree. Now, you've done a bit of charity work as well.
Yes.
The Bobby Goldsmith Foundation.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, I'm very involved in marriage equality. Also, I was involved in the Bobby Goldsmith Foundation. We did a calendar, which I'm pleased to say raised thousands of dollars. We did a calendar which involved myself, Kyle, and Jackie O, a different theme for each month. I think I was milking cows with Kyle. I was on a leash done up as a dog with Jackie. I'll bring in the calendar one day after you've had breakfast. So, yeah, I do lots of events for different charities. Miracle Babies is another one. That's premature babies. We started that one out in about 2007, a small fundraising dinner. That's now grown to a big gold dinner at the Western Hotel every year, where we get, you know, the premier attending. We get lots of guests, celebrities, and we make a lot of money. I'm very dedicated to this cause. Basically, they help the families of premature babies. It's very distressing. I actually saw a premature baby, like literally the size of, you know, 2 inches long, 3 inches long. you give me a cause, I'm there. Whether I was involved in the Olivia Newton-John Breast Cancer Research Foundation, did the auction there. If I've got the time and I can do it, I'll do it. No, people think, you know, you're only involved in causes for the gay and lesbian community. No, if it's a good cause, I'm right behind it.
Yeah. Jeff Field, you are a fantastic man. I can't thank you enough for coming in here today and being part of Old New Borough Blue. You've led, obviously, a very interesting life, and I'm sure it's, you know, only going to get better.
Thanks, Joel. So, I'm a blessed person. I never take it for granted. I'm lucky I have a platform.
Yeah.
I get invited onto shows like this where I get to listen to my favourite songs. So how good is that?
Very lucky. Okay, your last song, your blue song?
It's Sting, who is from the legendary rock band The Police. You know, don't stand so close to me. Every little thing she does is magic. Every breath you take, she'll be watching you. But If Ever I Have Faith in You is one of my favorite Sting songs. Have a listen. Just listen to the way the saxophone comes up in this. Listen to the pathos in his voice. It's just a beautiful song. So thanks for having me.
No, thank you very much, Jeff.
You could say, oh.